In our lives, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In our lives, Lord, be glorified today. In our homes, in our homes, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In our homes, Lord, be glorified today. In your church, in your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today. In your world, Lord, in your world, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your world, Lord, be glorified today.
From Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth, then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock and the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be one of peace. In our scripture tonight, the prophet Micah promises light to a tiny town that nobody seems to care much about, Bethlehem. I actually love this passage from Micah because it shows us that one does not have to be great and mighty and powerful to be light to the world or to have God work in them. In fact, Bethlehem was pretty unassuming, not a place you would expect things of great importance to happen. Yet Micah here is sharing with the people a promise from God that somebody great is coming from Bethlehem. This is more than just a celebrity who will be born in the city. This is somebody who, according to Micah, will be one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is of old, from ancient days, and one who will stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Light is coming to Bethlehem. According to Micah, light and promise and hope are all coming through Bethlehem. Today we see that through the birth of Christ, who was born all those years ago in a manger in Bethlehem. But really, this prophecy about Bethlehem, it's part of a larger theme of the Christmas story. These words from Micah remind us that throughout the Christmas story, that God is appearing in surprising and unexpected ways, and in surprising and unexpected places. Bethlehem, not the city you would pick for the Messiah to be born. A manger, not the location you would first choose. Mary and Joseph, not the obvious choice to raise the Messiah. Shepherds, not the people you would expect to be the first who would hear the announcement of Christ's birth. And yet these are the people and the places that God uses to change the world. The way that God is working in Micah's prophecy and the way that God is working in the Christmas story, that's the same way that God works today. God is still working in the unexpected and the surprising. God is still working in places that we don't suspect. God is still working through people we might not think of as obvious. That means that one of the questions for us as we await the arrival of Christmas is to ask ourselves if we are prepared to welcome Christ into our lives in unexpected ways. Are you prepared to meet Christ not just in the picturesque times when everything is peaceful and beautiful and everybody is well behaved and everything is going exactly as planned, but are you also prepared to meet Christ when none of that is happening? Because that's often when God is most at work, when things seem to be falling apart, when things seem insignificant. So be prepared to meet Christ in the unexpected parts of Christmas. Be prepared to meet Christ in the unexpected parts of your family gatherings. Be prepared to meet Christ when things aren't going as planned. Be prepared to meet Christ when something small and seemingly unimportant is happening. God is at work in the unexpected. The birth of Christ becomes real and meaningful often when we least expect it. So we must be prepared to welcome the birth of Christ in unexpected places and ways. We also must be prepared to be the ones used to share the good news of Jesus. Because part of this unexpected and surprising news of Micah and of the Christmas story and of today is that God uses even us to spread the good news of Christmas. As people who have the promise of Christ, as people who have the promise of hope, as people who have the promise of peace, we share Christ, we share hope, and we share peace. We become light in the darkness. We become those proclaiming the security of God in the midst of uncertainty. We become those loving the least and the lost and the last. Our role in the Christmas story of today is to become one of those used by God to share the good news of Christmas with others. That's what we're called to be prepared to do. We're called to be part of sharing the good news. So we must be prepared to welcome the Christ in unexpected places. And we must be prepared to share the good news. From the time of Micah to our present day, the town of Bethlehem has gone from a small, insignificant place to the well-known location of the birth of Christ. Some of that is probably due to the popularity of the Christmas carol, A Little Town of Bethlehem. However, even that Christmas carol has a history in the unexpected and surprising work of God. The words to A Little Town of Bethlehem were written by a man named Phillips Brooks in 1868 while he was serving as the minister of Church of the Holy Trinity in Philadelphia. He originally wrote the song for a children's Sunday school program, and he had his church organist compose a simple tune for the children so that the kids would be able to sing it. He never planned that the carol would be sung again after that day. However, the words in the tune caught on, and a leaflet of the song was printed a few years later, and it was published in a Sunday school hymn book. Brooks received the inspiration for his words when he was traveling in the Holy Land in 1865. He spent Christmas Eve in Bethlehem, and he recounted the experience this way in a letter to his father. He wrote, "The great church of the Nativity is Bethlehem's most prominent object. It's shared by the Greeks and the Latins and the Armenians, and each church has a convent attached to it. We were hospitably received in the Greek convent and furnished with a room. Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say the shepherds saw the star. It's a fenced piece of ground with a cave in it, in which, strangely enough, they put the shepherds. The story is absurd, but somewhere in those fields we rode through, the shepherds must have been, and in the same fields, the stories of Ruth and Boaz must belong. As we passed, the shepherds were still keeping watch over their flocks or leading them home to the fold. We returned to the convent and waited for the service. which began about 10 o'clock and lasted until 3. The experience of peace and worship in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve stuck with Brooks so that years later he was able to draw on it to write these words about the amazing events that occurred in Bethlehem the night that Christ was born. Since the words were originally a poem written for children, he wanted to highlight the unexpected role not only of Bethlehem in the Christmas story, but also the unexpected role of children. In a since-deleted verse, he writes, "Where children pure and happy pray to the blessed child, where misery cries out to thee, son of mother mild, where charity stands watching and faith holds wide the door, the dark night waits, the glory breaks, and Christmas comes once more." In an unlikely place, with unlikely and unexpected people, God was at work. In a surprising way, Christmas has come again. Through unexpected people, light and hope and peace have come. That's the message of the prophet Micah, and that's the message of Christmas. That's the message of a little town of Bethlehem, and that's the message for us today. It's the message of the gospel of Christ. The news that the good news comes through a man who came, was born in a manger, who lived, who taught, who eventually gathered with his disciples in an upper room on a night in which he knew he'd be arrested and tried and put to death. And with those disciples, he gathered them around the table, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this. All of you, this is the blood of the new covenant, and it's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes again and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it into the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. I'll invite my server to come forward, and then I'll invite you all to come as you feel led.
Gathered round your table on this holy eve, viewing Bethlehem's stable, we rejoice and grieve. Joy to see you lying in your manger bed. Weep to see you dying in our sinful stead. Prince of glory gracing heaven ere time began, now for us embracing death as Son of Man. By your birth so lowly, by your love so true, by your cross most holy, Lord, we worship you. Bethlehem's incarnation, Calvary's bitter cross, wrought for us salvation by your pain and loss. Now we fall before you in this holy place. Prostrate we adore you for your gift of grace. Christmas babe so tender, Lamb who bore our blame, how shall sinners render praises due your name? Do your own good pleasure in the lives we bring. In your ransomed treasure, reign forever, King. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look to God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near.
Go forth now to see the love and the hope and the light of God in the unexpected and the surprising places, knowing and trusting that God is at work. Go in peace. Amen.